Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. What's the role of music in literacy? What's the role of hip-hop in music? Reach Literacy in Sioux Falls hosts a music master class, the hip-hop edition. That's this Thursday, August 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Prairie Berry East Bank in Sioux Falls. Joining me in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls, Reach Literacy Executive Director Paige Sarda. Paige, thanks for coming back.
Good morning.
Also with us, one of the Music Masterclass panelists, Dr. Derek Robinson, is Assistant Professor of Education Leadership at the University of South Dakota. Derek, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Paige, let's start with why a music masterclass for Reach Literacy. Make the connection for us.
You bet. Literacy is the basis for everything, right? But one of the things that we really struggle with new learners is phonics and sort of that rhyming in general. And when you really look at rap or music, there's a big part of that is rhyming and kind of wordplay and putting that all together. And I just thought, you know, as an older white lady who has younger kids that listen to a ton of rap, I thought it's really interesting, sort of that, you know, connection. Can I understand it better? There's a huge connection with literacy. Other people must have the same questions that I do, so why not have a masterclass and actually learn a little bit more about the background, kind of how stuff gets put together,
right?
The whole process.
Tell me about the panelists and the events. What do you expect people will learn that night?
Sure. Well, Dr. Derek Robinson will really talk kind of more about the history of the music and a little bit of how it's, you know, a lot more infused in our life than we actually really even understand in terms of, you know, fashion and music and industry. We have a couple, there's a pretty big burgeoning rap, you know, kind of background that's already happening here with Wes Eisenhower and Soul Crate, and Bonnie Harari has his own music label, Nico McFadden, who's really come a long ways and has opened up his own business called The Trap House, and it, you know, all three different styles and different varieties. And so we really wanted to have a good exposure of people to really look at, there's an opportunity for you to, you know, in the middle of the Midwest, you could be a capital of hip-hop music.
All right, Derek Robinson, Midwest, capital of hip-hop music. She might be overstating that a little bit. What do you think as far as how hip-hop is sort of woven into the fabric of the state? Do you have thoughts there?
It is perfect, the perfect conceptualization of it. The one thing you have to kind of realize is that, of course, we know that hip-hop started off in New York, the Bronx specifically. But some of the messages and some of the infectiousness of the culture began to pop up in Los Angeles, New Orleans, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Chicago. Why not? Wherever people are enjoying it and see it as an avenue for creativity, an avenue for entrepreneurship, then it can spring up, and it has reached Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And our West River listeners are probably chiming in saying they've got quite a population of hip-hop artists out there and rappers, mm-hmm. and many coming from some of the reservation communities as well. Does that surprise you, or does that fit right into the narrative of hip-hop and rap?
It absolutely fits into the narrative. From its inception, it was inclusive. There's many things and many roles to play within hip-hop culture. So you can kind of get in and find what we would call your own lane and contribute to it. So it as it speaks to people, if people find a way to kind of incorporate it into their life, you see that hip-hop has kind of controlled a lot of what we do. It's become mainstream. It's in country music. It's in fashion. It's in, you know, it's worldwide. I think Japan right now has a larger hip-hop scene than some cities in the United States. But it's just that much popular. So I can see people taking it and blending it with their experiences.
Let's define it. How big is the hip-hop umbrella? What all does it include?
Okay. People will say essential elements of hip-hop, of course, is the music, dance, and art, or what we call graffiti art, entrepreneurship. But it also then comes down to a language and a system of understanding and collectiveness. So it's right. Initially, the rap became the most popular and most monetized version of hip hop. But now you see fashion has pretty much taken an eclipse. A lot of the rappers that have become entrepreneurs went into fashion and sold more there than they did actually of music. So you can kind of see it. It's in commercials. You know, it's in cartoons
now. Who started that? When does that really start taking effect, that hip-hop mm-hmm. artists are sort of fashion icons and then capitalize it in a business sense, capitalize on mm-hmm. it in a business sense?
I mean, think about Beats and Dr. Dre.
Yes.
I mean, they just sold that for, what, $3.2 billion to mm-hmm. Apple Music? I mean, that mm-hmm. was just their headphones that they... that Dr. Dre and his partner created and became kind of a fashion.
Those are really good headphones, by the way. Yeah. I can't afford them. I don't
right.
have a pair.
I mean, became kind of a fashion icon, but, you know, to go from, you know, just being kind of a DJ and now you're a mogul, you know, I yes. just think that that's pretty incredible that you've taken sort of something that became kind of fashionable to wear and it's mainstream at this point. You see everybody with them.
Yes. The amazing thing was that hip hop was supposed to be a fad. Hmm. I'm dated, so I'm 45 years old. It essentially was the music of my youth mm-hmm. Around the 1970s, 80s, but it was criticized as a fad. Up until the early 90s, it would not get played on radio. Even if you had a song that had a little bit of rap in it, they had to make another version to take the rap out. So about the early 90s, you started seeing it become more popular, videos and things like that. And what they were doing, what the rapper was doing while making these videos was advertising other people's clothes. So they were advertising Ralph Lauren, yeah. Tommy Hilfiger, things like that. Right. And then these producers of these clothing started distancing themselves from the rappers. And rappers said, I'm not making any real money off of this. So they decided to become more entrepreneurial. So, of course, Russell Simmons and Fat Farm and his wife at the time with Baby Fat Clothing, Jay-Z, Rockefeller Clothing or Rockaware Clothing, Sean Combs or Diddy.
Right.
With his line of clothing. You saw them venture into that, and it became very popular. And you see people wearing it across the nation.
So let's go back to you as a teenager then. Yeah. You're 45 now, so early 90s, you're in your, well, you're kind of a little bit older. So go a little, you're in high school and middle school. What are you listening to?
In the 80s, early 80s, let's see. Of course, it was Grandmaster Fast and the Furious 5. They made probably the one song to me that encapsulated hip hop, and it was a song called The Message. And it's a serious song, although hip hop can start off as party music, but it was a very serious song. But it said something initially that I identified with immediately when I walked outside. The opening line was broken glass everywhere. People pissing in the stairs, you know, they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, have no money to move out. I guess I have no choice. You're hearing a person say broken glass everywhere, and then you walk outside and look in your community, and what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Broken glass everywhere. I'm in Washington, D.C. at the time, so I'm quite sure there was someone in Los Angeles who walked out and saw the same thing, and someone in Texas who walked out and saw the same thing, and it just connected. It was a music that connected. So that was, of course, an initial influence. My almost idol in rap music, to me, is the person who kind of changed the genre, was a rapper by the name of Rakim in 1986. Before, rappers were really like yelling out their message, and it was simple rhymes. It was da-da-da-da-da, A, da-da-da-da-da, B, you know.
Right.
He changed the genre, and it made it more multi-syllabic, added more literary devices into it, and it matched what I was learning in my English class. You know, that you could be that creative. You could use personification and alliteration and do it at high levels, you know, to communicate to people. And it was infectious.
Shakespearean at some point. Absolutely. There has to be a connection as an English student to sort of putting those. Who else? Who's doing that now? Who's sort of a linguistic master of the songwriting and the use of language?
There's definitely, of course, the kind of your present legends, like a rapper by the name of Nas. Jay-Z is a definite lyricist. There's a new rapper, well, not necessarily new, but kind of underground, by the name of Skyzoo, who's one of my favorites. And his rhymes are so complicated, you have to stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a party song. It's you have to stop, rewind, go back again, listen multiple times, grab things out of it. He's referring to art. He refers to jazz music. He refers to popular movies. And does it in such a way that it's coded and doubled up for double entendres. He does it so well that you honestly have to study.
Yeah.
You know, I don't show it to people. I don't play it for people who just want to hear a nice song.
Right. But that's literacy, Paige, too, right? That's right. A higher level of really engaging with language is going ahead and allowing yourself to find that thing that pushes you to the next level and saying, it's okay that I have to stop. It's worth it to go back and stop.
Yeah,
and
how
listen.
Many times are you reading a book where you think, I thought I understood this, and you're like, I don't think I understood that at all. And then you go back and you read the paragraph again or again, and you're like, I think I get what they're saying, you know, and I think that's the same thing that what I've heard from, you know, when we've kind of met to talk about this program is that the more literate you are and the more well-read and the more experience that you have in life, it just enhances your music. And that's a lot about what we do at Reach. You know, we're skill building all the time with people, and we're also, you know, it's not just learning to read, but what else do you do with that when you learn to read? What else are you doing to enrich your life? And so it's the same concept for me. So I think music in general is universal for people, but that backbone of literacy and how that connects with that, I think, is huge.
Yeah. Are hip-hop artists today really, is that part of their message, or is it just the example that they set? And I'm asking because I'm thinking of the Broadway star, Pulitzer Prize winner, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm-hmm. With theater students, he always says, don't just get a theater major, get an English degree, get a political science degree. You have to be intelligent to be in the world and to do your art really well. It's not just about being a great actor. Do you think some of the hip-hop performers today are really sending that message, too, that says there's don't just write a great song, go out and do something more?
Hip-hop today has become so wide-range, particularly, or I should say rap music, has become so wide-range that you have a little bit of something for everybody. You have to be, in order to be a supreme lyricist, you must be well-read. You must have a lot of tools and vocabulary from which to draw from. You can be an entertainer in hip-hop, which doesn't require a large vocabulary, but just an infectious voice or sound or call and response. But I've found in my experiences in listening that when I'm listening to those ones that are just head and shoulders above the rest, they're pulling from things that I've studied in my own, you know, in my own studies, in my own degree. So, like, they are essentially master's degrees and PhDs in their field when it comes to what they're talking about. And also then their command of vocabulary and ways to kind of be very complicated with the language. There was a study actually done that would show that there were some rappers that were rated as far as their use of vocabulary to Shakespeare.
Right.
And many of them were far exceeding, you know, the vocabulary used in Shakespeare. So it's incredible to think that way, because a lot of people really would like to believe that it's nothing intelligent to be gained from that. And I think the purpose of what we're doing with the Music Masterclass is that there is something to be gained intellectually and through literacy by music.
Right. Yeah. Is that residue, you think, from the early days of hip-hop where it was a fad? And it's just still sort of hanging on, that it doesn't matter and it's not going to hang around? Or is that music in general, that you see people sort of dismiss the arts as a serious, or certain forms of art, as a serious contribution to society and culture and knowledge?
I think it's a combination of both. Of course, starting backwards, you have those who believe that intelligence is one way, that there's one singular notion of what equals intelligence, and that is reading the classics and going to college and going to get a PhD and things like that. But if you pay attention to Howard Gardner's Multiple Intelligences, there are many different forms and avenues of which we can call intelligence, and is musical intelligence. It's the way kind of it resonates for those who play it, for those who sing or rap, and I consider that the voice is an instrument as well. There is that level of intelligence that happens. On the former part, there's also the conceptualization that this was a genre of music that we didn't control as a dominant society. It started with Black and Puerto Rican and whites in the Bronx, New York. What good could come from the Bronx, New York? You know? So it was automatically had an uphill battle. You know, it was just it was great to just get their song heard on the radio for the first decade.
Right.
You know,
right.
Of rap music.
Paige, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment. My guests, Dr. Derek Robinson, he's with the University of South Dakota, and Paige Sarda, she's the executive director of Reach Literacy. We're talking about the upcoming Music Masterclass, the Hip Hop Edition. That's this Thursday, August 10th, in Sioux Falls at Prairie Berry East Bank. What good can come from South Dakota, Paige? What are you hoping for this conversation on Thursday for this masterclass? What do you think the ripples of just the conversation could be?
I mean, I think the obvious is race. You know, I'm there. The you know, when you look at our burgeoning state and who we're adding into our state, and we're, you know, immigration's a huge topic still, and most of the folks that I deal with are come from another country, speak two or three different languages, and so I think the opportunity to just explore something that you might not be super comfortable with, or that you know to learn more about, I think for me that's really valuable. My kids are really comfortable with race and music and all that. I might not be as comfortable. I just didn't grow up with it, you know, so exposing that. So I think that's the biggest part for me, is getting used to it and getting other people that it's not scary. It's just different. And you just have to be open to having a conversation. These are just people. So let's have a conversation. Let me learn about something different.
Anybody can come?
Anybody
it's
can
open.
Come.
It's open. Yep. We're getting a text question from a listener in Mitchell and wondering about female rappers. Let's talk about gender a little bit in rap and hip hop. Derek, where do you want to begin there?
From the very beginning, there have been female rappers. There was a group called Funky 4 Plus 1. The one was a rapper by the name of Chirac, a Chirap. But it was a female, and she was just as skilled as the male. Of course, there's always been gender battles, and just believing that females were equipped to rap. And to some degree, there's been a level of misogyny in rap that we have to deal with. It's in the world, it's in rap. You know,
right? It's part of the conversation, yeah.
But there have been skilled lyricist females, to name a few, MC Light from years ago, Queen Latifah, who's now gone into acting and doing everything else.
I just love Queen Latifah. I cannot help it.
But
I
as
love
a
her.
Rapper, was superior, still
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Bahamadia from Philadelphia, superior. Jean Grey. Superior rappers and intellectual, and they throw the frisbee really high, you know, when you're talking right. about levels of rapping. There have also been, of course, commercialism comes into rap just as it comes into everything else. So it's been used to kind of sell sex, you know, but we cannot criticize a Little Kim or a Nicki Minaj no more than we can criticize a Madonna. You know, that we've been using those images in perhaps the wrong way. But it doesn't take away from the skill that they bring to the table.
But a Nicki Minaj or a Madonna push the conversation about female sexuality
Absolutely.
Forward as well as challenging and maybe making missteps, depending on how you feel about those two artists, I suppose.
And that's the great part about it, is the intersectionality of having a rapper and female is that she can push gender issues and push that envelope to make us talk about things we weren't, as a society, not totally prepared to talk about. Salt and Pepper had a song called Let's Talk About Sex. It was really bringing that topic out and saying, let's talk about it. They had many other issues that are messages that went right directly to what was going on in the era of the time dealing with gender equity. There was TLC, if we like to call them kind of an R&B/rap group. They were talking about safe sex and protection and empowering women. You know, so it is a definite message that, you know, as we learn about females in rap, we're also then speaking to, what is 54% of the country's
right.
population and now has a voice in yeah. hip-hop. So that's beautiful.
What's next in hip-hop, do you think? What needs to happen next is sort of, who are the artists who are going to push it forward? Is it a lyrical sort of pushing forward, language, use of rhyme? Mm-hmm. Or does it come in a cultural way where this is a music of a movement and has that opportunity? What's sort of ahead for hip hop in your estimation?
I see, particularly for the music portion, there's always going to be an ebb and flow of just learning that there's different genres within rap or subgenres. And you find what one pleases you the most. I happen to like a lot of cerebral rap, so I go towards those artists. When I want to party or, you know, I just want to listen to something that's nonsensical, there's a nonsensical rapper out there for you, you know.
Right.
So you have to venture beyond some traditional outlets, of course, because whoever controls the outlet controls the message that goes out. But there's a genre of rap, there's a guy out there or a female out there who's speaking to something you're going through right now.
Right.
You know, and some of those rhymes can get you through, you know, it can all be therapeutic to listen to, just as music is in most genres. It's, they speak to your existence and they speak to your hopes. So I see there being a continual force in that. What I see in hip hop as a projection is more entrepreneurship. The landscape of the music industry has changed tremendously from because people are not buying albums, but now we're streaming. So you have to find, you have to be creative and innovative and everything. You see a lot of rappers who are now going into music production and going into movie production and television series. And, you know, some of your highest paid actors now, Will Smith, rapper, you know, the rapper 50 Cent has one of the most powerful TV series out right now. And it's a TV show called Power. So you're seeing those guys who we thought had nothing to offer moving into production and moving into different fields within entertainment and business. So,
and yet high school students can still rap the entire opening from The Fresh Prince.
Absolutely.
Even though they've never seen the show.
Never seen it, but know it.
It lives on.
And can dance to a song called Apache or Sugar Hill Gang.
Right.
And can identify them if we showed you pictures.
Right.
Right. Is that all good? The sort of integration that becomes just, it's part of our entire American cultural fabric then, or international cultural fabric then.
Absolutely. When you open up your mind to receive it, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But you have to. It helps you to embrace youth culture. I've been teaching for 22 years. I had to embrace youth culture or else I would get distanced from them and then we don't connect. So it's a great way to have conversations with your children about certain issues.
So we're just scratching the surface, aren't we, Paige? Mm-hmm. There's going to be so much at this conversation.
Right.
And it's Reach Literacy in Sioux Falls. It's a music masterclass, the hip-hop edition, this Thursday, August 10th, 6 to 8 p.m., Prairie Berry East Bank. Fundraiser for Reach. Do you buy tickets at the door?
Yep, you can buy them ahead of time. You can go to our website at reachliteracy.org, or you can buy them at the door. Just $10. We'll even feed you. Drinks are on your own, but we'll feed you.
All right. Future master classes for
We're hoping that we can do that. Yeah, we thought we'd start with this because we thought this was probably the, I don't know, I was really intrigued by this concept.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Paige Sarda is Reach Literacy Executive Director. Dr. Derek Robinson, Assistant Professor of Education Leadership at the University of South Dakota. I'm sure they'll both be back. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Lori.